we discussed the concept of Ein Bezdin Shachol, which means that you can't have an even Bezdin. So the Gemara says that even if you just have two psukim of Elohim's, so you know there's three Dayanim, because two has to be three. So I'd like to discuss a little bit about Ein Bezdin Shachol, and also it comes up also about Bezdin L'chalitza, which is an interesting topic in its own right. And there's a lot of interesting things here. Rav Moshe's Tshuva here, I told you about what's the correct Lashon Kodesh. Ashkenazis, Sfaradit, it's in this packet. So the Torah says like this, Ki Yeshu Achim Yachtov, you have two brothers, Humeis Achad Mehem, Uvein Ein Lo, Losie Eishas Hameis Achutzul Ishzor, Yivamo, Yavo, Eleha, Aleha, Ulakachalo Isha Bibma. Right? In other words, you have two brothers, and one of them died without children. So the halacha is that the brother in law marries the almana. Then in Pasuk Zayin it says, Lo Yachbotza Ish Lakacha says Yivimto. But if he doesn't want, they also Yivimto Ashar El Azkainim, the Umra Mehain Yivami Lokim Lokim Shem Yisrael La Ava Yabmi. Doesn't want. So what does he do? The Karl is like Ni'imra Vidimra Lova Omar the Omar Lo Khafatsi Lakhto. He says, I don't want to marry her. The mixture Yivim Toy Love Lane is Kanim Khaltal Nalo Me Al Raglo. So he has she takes off his shoe in front of the Bezdin, in front of this Kanim, and she spits in front of him. And that releases his obligation. So she says that he doesn't want to marry me. She says it in front of the Bezdin. And then he says also, Lo chafatzi lakachto. And then she takes off his shoe. There's a special type of shoe that we have for chalitza. And she says, "Kacha ye'osa le'isha shalo yivne es beis achiv," and that's the story. So I remember one year they had, many years ago in the first ball, they had a chalitza in room 501. In the final room, there was chalitza there. Yeah, I mean, chalitzas are usually done publicly, unless that people are going to feel uncomfortable. I mean, it's a strange type of situation. No one wants to be a spectator. You know, it's not our most comfortable situation. Well, right, yeah, it's not such a, but still, it could be. Depend upon the sensitivities of the people who are doing it. This one that they had in 501 was an older couple. Then they had by 9/11 there was chalitzas that were done. The fellow who's in the shir, I think, right? Mark Rosenberg, his wife underwent chalitza, because we don't do yibum b'zman hazeh. At least Ashkenazic jury doesn't do Yibum B'zman Hazeh. So the only thing we do is Chalitza.
Are there sex and practice?
Yeah. I think in some Sephardic communities they still... That was a big contention amongst Rav Avadi Yosef. I think he permitted Yibum in his tenure. And then the next... Sephardic chief rabbi didn't want to permit it anymore, and Avad Yosef thought he should permit it because the Sephardic tradition was always to permit the Yibum. That requires a separate packet, whether why we don't do Yibum Bizman Hazeh. But the bottom line is, in Ashkenazic Jewry, we don't You don't perform Yibum. Only do Chalitza. So let me ask you a question. So how many Dayanim do you need for a Bezdin of Chalitza? What would you say? How many Dayanim for a Bezdin of Chalitza? What? You would say three. I would have said three too. Right? Because it's not Nefashos. Right? Nefashos is 23. I would have thought three also. So let's see. Let us see. Let's take a look on page 5. There's a machlokus here. Tanina, look at the Mishnah. Mitzvah chalitza b'shlosha dayanim. The Mishnah says in Yevamos that mitzvah chalitza, in other words, when you have the chalitza and you're doing all this, when the woman spits in front of him and she takes off his shoe and the whole procedure is done in front of three dayanim. Afilu shloshtam hedyotos, even if they're not musmachim. So now let's look in the Gemara. Tanina l'hadu tana rabbanan, mitzvah chalitza b'shlosha sheyodim l'hakros, ke'ein dayanim. In other words, they don't have to be big talmidei chachamim, but they should be able to read the psukim so that the man and the woman could repeat along whatever they're supposed to recite, so the Bezdin has the ability to read Hebrew. So they could read the pasuk, and then the woman who has to, or the man who has to say the words, they will repeat after the bezdin. So yodim lakos ke'in dayanim. Rabbi Yehuda omer b'chamisha, and Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you need a bezdin of chamisha. My time at Tanakama. So what's Tanakama's reasoning? Because it says that you bring to the Zkenim, right, the Pesukim we just read. But also, Yivimto Ashar El Zkenim. So Zkenim is plural. So minimal plural is what? Is two. And Ein Bezen Shokol is what? Is three. That's one opinion. Harekan Shlosha. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ziknei Shnayim, Zikenim Shnayim, Vein Bezen Shokol, Mosifim Leim Orechad Hare Chamisha. He says, no. You can't. The Pasuk says Zikenim, and then there's another Pasuk that says Korolo Ziknei Ira. So Zikenim counts as two, Ziknei counts as two. And two and two is four, and Ein Bezen Shokol is five. And then the Gemara is going to discuss, so why didn't he count his pasuk? Why didn't he count his pasuk? Right? So one opinion just says you look at the one word's Canaan, and so that's two, and Ein Bezen Shokol is what? Is what? Is one more is three, and then that's and the other one says, no, you look at the two pasukim, the pasuk that says Ziknei, and the pasuk that says Canaan, so two and two is four, and one is five because Ein Bezdin Shokol. Oh, so there's a famous Tosfos. The famous Tosfos says Ein Bezdin Shokol Mosifim Le'Morechad. Hacha Gabi Chalitza Asi Shaper Ein Bezdin Shokol Mosifim Le'Morechad. Let me ask you a question. Could you forward an argument to me why the concept of Ein Bezen Shokol should not be relevant to Chalitza?
There's no ruling being done on
There's no ruling being done. It's not like there's an argument between two parties and we have to decide who's right, so you have to vote. Right? There's no ruling being done. So since there's no ruling being done, it's just, the Beis Din is just like by a wedding, you have Shnei Eden. You give the ring over Shnei Eden. So it's just that you're performing the Kiddushin in front of the Shnei Eden. So too, the Chalitza, in order to be a good Chalitza, has to be performed in front of what? In front of the Beis Din. But they're not going to decide anything here. It's not a question. So the question is, why is the concept of Beis Din Shokel relevant to Chalitza? Both opinions. The opinion says three is because we have one pasuk is Kanim, and it can't be two, so it's three. And the other pasuk is Kanim and Zikne, is two and two. Is also Ein Beis Din Shokel. So they both subscribe to the concept of Ein Beis Din Shokel when it comes to what? When it comes to Chalitza. But the question is, why? Lechora, there's no judgment here. Baruch?
I have a question about that. Well, why would we even say a Lashon of Beis Din? Beis Din means people are just Eden. You said it could be.
No, so sometimes, look, when a person gets married, so all he needs is to do it in front of Shnei Eden. But there are things in Halacha that's not sufficient to do it in front of Shnei Eden, that you need a Beis Din to do it in front of the Beis Din.
And you just said that these people are going to be a Sukkim, they're kosher for this Beis Din, so basically that they're Eden that can be a Sukkim. It's nothing special.
Right, but you need three of them, or five of them, so you need a Din Beis Din. And we're going to see. So Tosas says, Hacha Gabi Chalitza. This is a famous Tosas, Rabbi Yosef. This is a world famous Tosas. Hacha Gabi Chalitza, as he shaper dein bezn shokel mosif aleim or echad. He says, this is, by Chalitza is not a problem. Why? Da ikar kama plukta b'masnisa. I mean, because in the time of the Mishnah, you see, we have a Shulchan Aruch now. So everything is clear cut. We know what to do. But then, in Mishnaic times, there was machlokas in the Mishnais of how to do chalitza. What shoe is good? What shoe is not good? What saliva is good, and what saliva is not good? You know, was the saliva sufficient saliva? Was it? There are a lot of shaylas that. So it's true that the Beis Din, it's not a machlokas about who you owe me money or you don't owe me money, but still you need the Beis Din to make sure the paskin that it was sufficient saliva and that it was that the shoe was a proper shoe, etc. So therefore the Beis Din is not only a Beis Din that is seeing, but it's also a Beis Din that's paskining as well. So therefore you have a concept of a Beis Din Shokel even by what? By Chalitza. Oh. But then he has the question, there's another halacha that we skipped on page 3, going over to page 4. It says, V'im kol adas Yisrael yishku. 3, going over to 4, im kol adas Yisrael yishku. Ne'elam dovar minei hakol. Ve'asu achas mikol mitzvos Hashem lo seyatzen v'ashemu. What happened? That Beis Din came out with a psak. The Sanhedrin paskin something. And they made a mistake. There is a concept. People can make a mistake, even the Sanhedrin. They make mistakes sometimes. And what happened? The people followed the mistake. And it wasn't just a Yalav Yavol Shaila. It was a Koresh Shaila. Beis Din paskin that a certain thing that is really usher to eat. Koris, Beis Din paskin, was mutter. So everyone went out and bought it and ate it. And then they saw they were wrong. So the halacha is, you have to bring a korban. The whole community brings a korban. That's called par helem dover tzotzibur. Yudal. The no da chatas sheshchotu ulev ekiyu akol par ben bokar lechatas. Ve'viyo so lefnei ol moim. Then it says, v'somchu ziknei ha'eda es yideim al rosh ha'par. And the ziknei ha'eda will place their hands on the par. In other words, Ziknei Eida means what? A Beis Din. Ziknei Eida means the Kanim. Zkenim means three dayanim. So you have three dayanim who place their hands on the par, and then you bring the par as a korban to atone the communal sin that they listened to the Beis Din and Beis Din was wrong, and now we see they're wrong and they can make mistakes, and that's okay because human beings are allowed to make mistakes even if you're the Sanhedrin. So you made a mistake, but then you correct yourself. There's nothing wrong with making a mistake. What's wrong is a person who will never admit that he made a mistake. But the ikar is, so they bring the korban. Now, but it had to be done with the Beis Din. So now Tosfos asks the kasha, well, what do you need three dayanim for this par? What are they paskening on? What do you need three? You should only have two. Because, again, there's no shaila here. I mean, it was already decided from before that the Sanhedrin made a mistake. The Sanhedrin admitted they made a mistake. So now when they're bringing the korban, what's the shaila that you need three, that two is not good? The whole reason we need three in Beis Din is because Ein Beis Din Shokel. But Lachora, Ein Beis Din Shokel should only apply when there's a decision. So we said, well, chalitza, there are decisions that have to be made. They have to decide whether the saliva was good. Was it proper saliva that came out? Or was the shoe a proper shoe, etc. Avalin and smichas par de beina nami shlosha kosher ke shloma de hasan nami ikut plukte beina b'chol kocha.
In other words, yeah, there is a question because there's a machlokes when you put your when you do smicha on the korban, so there's a question: how hard do you have to press down? Do you just put your hands lightly on top of the korban, or do you do it b'chol kochel? So therefore, you need a Beis Din to determine this shaila. So there is a shaila about how to bring the korban for the par held on the shav fibar. Odei shlomar the kol duktan v'ina roy the Beis Din ein Beis Din shoko. Or no, the second pshat in Tosfos is maybe in a chanami, even in a situation when you don't have a decision to be made, but since the original din Beis Din, most cases of Beis Din are a question of decisions, so over here as well, even though it's not a question of a decision, still we would require to have the three dayanim, because sort of like a low plug type of thing. Anytime you need a royal Beis Din, ain't Beis Din Shokel, even if it's not a question of a decision. Because we were able to find that it is a question of a decision, but if not, not. That even if it wouldn't be a question of a decision, we would still have a din of Ein Beis Din Shokel. Who raised your hands in the back there? Ellie Clark.
But by Kedushin and Meritin,
isn't there a Shilas that come up all the time that we only have a proper way
to... Because there was no requirement of having a Beis Din. Yeah, why? They're Shilas.
No, so that's what I'm trying to put. That's why you have a Masada Kedushin. But there was... In other words, in a Hanami, theoretically, they could have been a Takana that you need a Beis Din for marriage, but they never made such a...
Even though they're a whole...
Yeah. Rav Shachter said maybe the Masada Kedushin has been like, okay, okay. Now let's look on page 6.
Wait a second.
Page 6. It says like this. It's not. Look in the first. You see where I put two arrows there next to each other? The top arrow. It's not. Smicha zakein of egla rufa b'shlosha. Divrei Rav Yosef. Rav Yehuda omer b'chamisha. Hachalitza v'amiyunim b'shlosha. So in other words, we have a machlokas between Rav Yosef and Rav Yehuda. How many dayanim for egla rufa smicha zakeinim? But then it says, chalitza v'amiyunim b'shlosha.
But the question is, in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said chalitza is what? 5 dayanim. So here, he's saying what? 3. So the Gemara says, Shmamina hadar bei Rabbi Yehuda Shmamina. That Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind. That originally Rabbi Yehuda held you need what? What? 5 dayanim. And then he changed his mind. So now, what's the halacha? So everyone holds you only need what? 3 dayanim for chalitza. Oh, so then, so how many dayanim do we have at a chalitza, Rabbi Osai? It's so there's no machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Everyone agrees that what? You have what? 3 dayanim at a chalitza. So how many dayanim do we have at a chalitza? And everyone agrees that all you need is 3 dayanim at a chalitza. So how many dayanim do we have at a chalitza?
3.
Yeah, so what you're saying to yourself, what's with him? Alright, so everyone agrees that we have that all you need is 3 dayanim for chalitza. So how many dayanim do we have at a chalitza? 5. Okay, so what's going on? Let's see. If you ever have a chalitza, you'll see there's 5 dayanim at a chalitza. Even though everyone agrees, all you need 3. Even Rabbi Yehuda was Hadarbei. Oh. So let's see. Amar Rabba, Tzrichi Dayani Lamikva Duchta, Tzivah also Yimto Ashar, Rabbi's Kedim. We'll see what that means in a second. Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Great Rabbi Shua, Avdi Ubda Bechamisha. Then Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Great Rabbi Shua, Avdi Ubda Bechamisha. They had 5 Dayani. Command for Rabbi Yehuda. They followed Rabbi Yehuda. So Fred the Mar, what do you mean following Rabbi Yehuda? For Hadarbei. But Rabbi Yehuda what? Changed his mind. So the Gemara says the presuming milsa, meaning like this: the halacha is that all you need is 3, but the Chachamim say we take 5 just to make it more pirsum, that we want that it should be more public. So what they do is they take 3 people and they sit them over here. Take a look. You have 1, 2, 3 over here. And then they have the shnei, the other 2 they put menatzar. So what they do is, so in other words, Rabbi Yehuda originally held Meikar Adin, you need 5. We hold that Meikar Adin, you only need 3, but with Pirsumi Milsa, we have what? We have 2 more. And the 2 more usually sit perpendicular to the other 3. Okay? So this way we note the difference between the Iker Dayanim and the what? The Nosafim. And that's because of what? Persume Nilsa. The problemizing that the Chalitza was done and therefore she's available to marry whoever she wants. Well, so now, 1 second, the Gemara said another halacha. Amar Rava Tzrichi Dayanim L'mikva Duchta. This is another interesting halacha. The second arrow. Amar Rava Tzrichi Dayanim L'mikva Duchta. Tefsiv also Yivinto Ashara. Can you tell me what that means? Oh, so let's look at Shulchan Aruch. Take page 7. It says like this. Sif Aleph says, Mitzvah Chalitza Begimel Dayanim Yisraelim. So all you need is 3. Shalit Krovim Zelazeh. They can't be Krovim to one another. Below Yavam, below Yavam. They can't be related to the man or the woman. Filahim Had Yelps. Right, even if they're not smuchim, Rachiyedu Hakros Es Hayavam VaYivam. But they have to know to read the psukim, you know, and then the Yavam and Yavam will follow through. Then Siv Gimel, second arrow, in the bottom, the Chachila Mitzvah SheYosifu Beis Al HaGimel. There's a mitzvah that you shouldn't only have 3, but you should add 2 more. Rafim VaHabeis HaMameyaretz. In other words, these two could, you know, even if they're amaratzim, because they're just there for publicity. They're not there really part of the bezin. They're the nosafim. And that's what the Ramah says. Eila shnayim shemosifim shlo yikrovim psulim. They shouldn't be krovim psulim. Dach lachatchila, but the yevet kosher. But the yevet, even if they're krovim psulim, they're okay. Because they're just there as what? As Pearson. Oh. So now he tells you another halacha. Halacha dalet, that's the halacha we saw in the Gemara. Tzvichim hadayom lachatchila l'gvoa mokom. Lomar neilech l'mokom ploni lachos. There's a halacha that you need kviyas makom. What does that mean? You have to designate a place where the chalitza is going to be. In other words, it's not enough to, okay, the chalitza is going to be Tuesday at 2 p.m. At Tuesday at 2 p.m. we'll decide where we want to have it. No. You have to have a decision beforehand where you want the chalitza to take place. Then it's just like, you have a wedding. So you don't wake up the day of the wedding and say, okay, we're having the wedding here. No. Part of the pirsum milsa is that you decide the place from before. Anything that's going to be done publicly is usually decided before. You can eat lunch today, so you might not know where you want to eat. You don't have to decide before, you'll decide on the spot. But something that's has more of a public eye to it, there's always going to be a decision before of where it's going to happen. So that's what it says on page 9. First page 8. So when do you have to decide where it's going to be? So some say you have to decide that day. It's enough to decide that day. And yesh omrim, you should decide the day before. So what's the minhag? So the Ramah says the minhag on page 9 is like this. Sif yud beis. V'yikbu mokom l'chalitza sheyomu hagimel l'beis hanosafim. The three who are the Iker Besdin should tell the extra two, Melech Lamoko Veneshev Mokum Ploni Kidei Lachos, that tomorrow we're going to such and such place to do the Chalitza. But the Ramah says, Menogim Shehokim Lamokum Sharotim Leishiv Sham Lamokov Yoshvi Ma'at. So that's the minute. The minute is that the Besdin convenes the day before. The day before they actually physically go to the place. Like they're going to have a Chalitza in room 501 tomorrow, so the Besdin will go to the place of the chalitza the day before, and there'll all five of them, and then three will sit this way, and the other two will sit perpendicular, the nosafim, and that's called kviyas. That's how we are mekayim the words of the Gemara of kviyas mokum. You don't have this by other halachas. If you have a din Torah about dinei mominus, you don't have to have the bezdin get together the day before and sit there. Sit there and stare in space. But part of the din of chalitza is that it's a pirsume milsa. So therefore, that's why we add on, even though everyone agrees that all you need is three dayanim for what? All you need is three dayanim for what? For chalitza. But what do? We have five. Two more, what? The pirsume milsa. And that's why we also have a din of what? Kviyas makom. Why? For the same reason, for pirsume milsa. And then he tells him Sif Ches, in the Chalitza Biyom Rishon, the Chalitza on Sunday, ain't Kovi Mokum Biyom HaShabbos, Kim Be'er Shabbos. So then you don't do Kfiyas Mokum on Shabbos, you do it on Friday. And then Yud Beis, he says, Biyom HaChalitza Yevo HaChamisha Dayanim L'mokum Shekovu HaShlosha Dayanim HaShonim Yeshua HaSasal Echad Babeis HaDasof Yeshua Connect them HaSasal Achim. In other words, you shouldn't have all five in the same bench, because then it's not five, it's three and the extra two. The two are really just the nosafim. And that's what Yud Gimel says, Mavim od anashim shiyu sham be'ez hachalitza, fachos yu hei, shenimtsa yim adayon heim asara. So the minig is to bring at least five more people, so you have 10 people there at the chalitza. That's why the minhag used to be that they would do chalitza in davening after shul, when everyone was there. So to have a pirsumi milsa. But again, the dayanim don't have to be what? They don't have to be smuchim. All they have to do is know a little Hebrew so they can read the psukim beforehand.
They don't have any paskim. That's all they have to know.
No, they can still. Hedyotis just means they don't have to. They don't have to have the smicha, but they still are gomir v'savya. Yeah.
What's the whole concept of person by chalitza kavanah? I mean, the original happening of Rabbi Yehuda and wasn't
even the chalitza. Right. Also, ivimto hashara. It seems in the chumash, that you're doing it in the gate of the city. Right? Isn't that how it seems in the chumash? On page 11 is Rav Moshe's tshuva. He wrote this tshuva in Tavshin Chav Tes to Rabbi Michal Tversky of Milwaukee. And it's about Shinei Havarot in Yecholim Lashonos Olam. And it has to do with the Kriyas HaPsukim for Chalitza. That's what it's an interesting topic, Stan, that you should know about. And we know that the Jewish people were put in different countries. And as a result of being in different countries, which had different languages, that affected the way people pronounce Hebrew. And you have very different ways of pronouncing Hebrew, from Sfaradi way, Ashkenazis way. You have Galatiana, that all the U's are E's. You know, Avinu is Avini, right? And a lot of different ways of pronouncing Lashon Kodesh. And so he says like this. V'davar shinei havaros ben anshei Ashkenaz v'vein anshei Sfarad v'ade ein l'shonos me'havaros shel avoseinu she'yu korim v'havarazu alfei hashonim lo mi'boi im ne'imashu gam machlokos adina eich likros shavade ein l'onu l'shonos v're l'vnei Ashkenaz einu emes karavar Sfarad asfaradus v'fratshe b'nei Ashkenaz ha'yu arog b'chol adoros. He says that really, you know, it's always good to follow your tradition. Right? If you're Ashkenazi, so l'chora you should follow the way your lineage has been doing it throughout the generations. And if you're a Sephardi, do it the way the Sephardim were doing it throughout the generations. You know, Rav Kook wanted that the spoken language in Israel should be Ashkenazis. And he used to pay the melamdim in the yeshivas, in the cheders, extra money if they would teach Ashkenazis. It's not Sfaradit. But he didn't win. He didn't win. And as we know, the Lashon is that is the Sfaradit intonation. I mean, there's a question of what the motives were of, you know, why all the day schools. I remember when I was in Yeshiva Flatbush in second grade, so we were taught Sfaradit, like all the modern day schools. And so my father went and was there for a parent-teacher conference day, so he said, so then when are you teaching them, you know, Ashkenazis? You know, he figured that was Pashit, that we were going to teach this, but they said, no, this is it. So it's a question what the motives were. You know, I don't want to judge anybody, or why that became the way that the modern day schools did it. There are some that are very critical of what they did. They thought that it was a way of breaking their roots from the past, where all the grandparents were always speaking Ashkenazi, and this was a way of breaking away from that mold. And again, I'm not here to criticize anybody or to, but there is what to say. There is what to say for an individual following, you know, in all areas of halacha, following whatever, you know, tradition your family has, that your family stems from. I'm assuming that that tradition was something that they, you know, not something they just did on their own, but something that was part of a chain that, you know, you're from Galicia, or you're from Poland, or you're from... I mean, today's day and age, the a lot of the ways of pronouncing Hebrew, the way our grandparents did it, we usually don't do it. The last one I saw, Avraham Soloveitchik, he did it the way my grandmother used to. That, you know, there's a question whether you say O. Oh. So the modern, us modern people say O. Oh. And the yeshivish people say Oi, even though there's no Yud. They say Oi. But the way that they did it in the way I once said, I took a chassidur and I put it in front of my grandmother and say, okay, read for me. I want to see how you, so the way they did it, and there are only a few people left that have this, and that's the real way they did it in Europe, was there wasn't O and there wasn't Oi, but it was A. It wasn't Torah, it was Teira. It was A. An O had the pronunciation of an A. That was very common. I think Rabbi David Feinstein, he pronounced it. In other words, if you were born in Europe and you have the real tradition of the way they did it in Europe, that's the way they pronounced it in Russia. Or but today, no one's going to do that. They'll look at you like you're, you know, if you were born in there, like Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik was born there, Rabbi David Feinstein was born there, so they say the Nusach that way. But in America, so it's either all the people that want to be yeshivish say, Oi, the people don't necessarily need to be yeshivish, say, oh. But the point is that this is the key point that Rav Moshe is going to make now. The second arrow. Afim name it to establish a leg of flukta ladino, shneim hayukshayim ladino. He says that all, this is going to be his yisod, that all forms of Hebrew, whether you say it's Sfaradit, Ashkenazis, Galiciana, whatever you say, as long as there's a community that says it that way, that has the halakhic status of Lashon HaKodesh. So therefore, there's no need. In Karim B'Yavna, they have this minhag that they read Parsha Zohar six times. Right? They read it six times. So make sure everybody's havara is accounted for. So it's an interesting minute, but it's really not necessary, because we hold, Rav Moshe says that all forms of Hebrew is law. And look, I can't go ahead and make up my own thing, but as long as there's a tzibur that does it that way, that is considered a dialect of Hebrew, and therefore it's considered a kosher Lashon HaKodesh. And again, look, what should somebody do who was brought up in a modern day school? So I think that has to be a question of everybody's situation. It has to be dealt with on its own merits. I wouldn't say there's one. Again, it makes sense to say that if you're an Ashkenazi Jew, so why are you saying it Sfaradit, right? For thousands of years, your community did it that. So there's what to say for that. There's also what to say, somebody who's planning to live in Eretz Yisrael, and that's going to be where he's going to be living. So there's what to say for that as well. So I think everybody's, since Rav Moshe writes here that every possible havara is considered kosher. When Mashiach will come, maybe he'll give us a basic ulpan and teach us what we really should be doing. But till then, I think we should have respect for every havara, and every individual situation everyone has their own sensitivities and own things of where he came from and where he's going to and where he came from. And I wouldn't say there's one answer for every single individual. One second. Because he says like this. Whereas you have to do a kriya. Rav Moshe says if it was true that only one type of Hebrew is the true Hebrew, right? Either Ashkenazi, Sfaradit, Teimani, Galatiana, whatever it is. The one is only. So then every chalitza, you should have to teach, make sure the person knows all 10 dialects. Because maybe they're not doing the proper kriya. So we never find, and therefore, and if it's an improper kriya, so how could she marry, then the chalitza maybe is not a good chalitza. Because at least you need royal kriya, even though the kriya is not makhevis, as like Harari points out for the Rambam. But you need at least the ability to know all the different ways. And we don't find such a requirement that by a chalitza. So that means that we hold me'ikir adin that as long as chalitza shalotu, because then it'll come out that the chalitzas of Sfardim, if this woman now wants to remarry, she what? She can't marry an Ashkenazi because if the Ashkenazi way is the only true way and that the Sephardi way is not the true way, and Chal Chalitza was a Sephardic Chalitza with a Havara Sephardic, then how is this Ashkenazi man going to marry her? Shalom Atzinu over there. We don't find such a thing that you did a Sephardi Chalitza with a Havara Sephardic that an Ashkenazi man can't marry you. Okay, Mashra Sheshtei Havaras Ksherim. They're both kosher. So even though she only knows Ashkenazis, she doesn't even know how to read Sfaradit. She doesn't know, all she knows is Ashkenazis, or Rak Habar Sfaradit. Sheira Chalitza, it's kosher. That's the key line. She'im yesh kol gadol shakorim oso ma'osvios v'tevus v'tubus shav loshon ha'kodesh v'arva k'vua nechshav ze gam kein loshon ha'kodesh. I'll read it again. She'im, the first word line, she'im. I should have put an arrow there. She'im yesh kol gadol. If there's a large amount of people, shakorim osom ha'osvios v'tevus, that they read these letters and words, v'nekudesh shav loshon ha'kodesh, they read it in the Lashon HaKodesh, in the basic Lashon HaKodesh, the Havara Kvua, and they have their way. Nechshav ze gam kein Lashon HaKodesh. That's also called Lashon HaKodesh. Afshav shinoi mehavara shem dibru shenidna Torah. Even though, maybe my way of saying it is not the way that HaKodesh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu. I might be doing it, and your way might not be the way Ramos Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu either. Because he only said it one way. Right? Whichever way it was. Maybe it was the Hasidic way, I don't know. Whichever way it was. But he only gave it one way. So L'chora, there's one way that it was originally given. And then it got corrupted through the various Golios and the various. But Rav Moshe says, as long as there's a Kal Godel that does it, so then it's considered a dialect of Lashon Kodesh. As long as you're basically saying the same letters, there are differences. But al pidin, everything is kosher for everyone else. So therefore, if a Sfardi does chalitza in the Havara Sfaradit, we don't say that that wasn't a good kriya, and therefore an Ashkenazi can't marry him. So al pidin, it's all kosher. That's what he says, based on the din of chalitza. based on the fact that by Chalitza you don't find such a thing that a Sephardi can't marry an Ashkenazi afterwards, so yet you assume that all Chalitzas are kosher for everybody. The only question is, what is preferable for you to do? And I would say that every individual has to decide that, maybe with consultation, with a Talmid Chacham or whatever, to decide based on his life situation, his sensitivities, what it's all about. But once he's saying that everything is kosher, then there's more room to maneuver. And then you have to see what, again, everyone has a different situation of where they came from and where they're heading to. And that has a factor to decide what, if a person's planning to be in a society where they say one way and he doesn't want to stick out or something like that, that's one sensitivity to look into and other things, but this is his famous tshuva, and I wanted to do it here because something very nogan has to do with chalitza. Yeah.
But when he says that each one is kosher, and you're in a shul, let's say it's Ashkenazis, and that's kosher for them, does that mean that when somebody who's a part of that community does not Ashkenazis and does something else, that granted, there's a Sfaradi that's also not Kodesh, but he's not a part of it. So if he goes against the Ashkenazis, does that mean he's not, what he's doing?
When he gets an Aliyah, you mean?
Is that not Kodesh for him if he does against what the Kal is doing?
No, because every dialect, as long as Rav Moshe says, Hakal Godol, I can't now go into a room and say, I'm going to make up a new way of doing it. And no one else knows. That's not. But as long as there's a kol gadol that does it, that's called lashon hakodesh. So even though it's contradictory, because l'chora one, it's either u or e. I mean, it's either baruch or barich. One of them is right. One of them is wrong. L'chora. But that's called a dialect. As long as it's basically using the same letters and the basic pronunciation, and there is a community somewhere that does it that way. It's not just three people that are doing it that way. That's called Lashon HaKodesh Al-Pidin. And therefore, even if you're going to read for me Parsha Zohar in your way, and even though I don't do it your way, I'm Yotzeh. The only question is, what should be the preferable way for any given individual to do it? And that's, I said, that should be decided on a one-to-one basis upon a person's sensitivities and his background and his behuli. Yeah.
Yes, we were on this question. Is there a shadow like the person we see or Moses goes through, if the person gets up again with the ritual, he's just speaking
out. Right, so there are some people that if they get an aliyah will try to change their havara to fit the community that they're in, but it's not kedai because you're going to get so kablunged that you're going to just look strange. Because it's not the way you're doing it, and you're going to try to do it their way. I think today we can be more laid back about it. Unless there's some communities that, like, it's so earned that they'll kill you if, like, you do anything that's not in their way. But, you know, most normal laid back people, they're not going to kill you for doing it a little differently. So if you daven in the Sephardic in Deal, so you could get an aliyah and say your Ashkenazic way. And when the people from Deal come to West Orange, they could do it in their Sephardi way, and everyone will get along and Shalom al Yisrael.
What about? Mixing,
let's
say someone
sometimes
Ashkenazi,
you know,
is that okay?
Yeah. Right, there are people that do that. They mix it up.
Is that not?
Right. I mean, Mistami Yotze, it's not that that person should try to work on. In other words, if you're doing it Sfardit, you should be consistent and you should do it. You should do an Ashkenazi. I've heard people, because people who I like, who try to go back and forth because in the different shuls, and it messes up. It's hard to. I remember when I grew up, I
I went to Yeshiva Flatbush and we were taught Sfaradig, and that's the way I said it until age 15. And then one day in Mar Shakol, I went to Rabbi Cohen and they said, you think I should continue with this or should I change? So I don't have to tell you his answer. So he told me to change, so I changed. And then it took time not to, you had to make sure to use a sitter all the time to not to. I mean, if you use the Sfaradid, it's much easier because you don't have to know the difference between tar and sa. It's much easier to lay Sfaradid. It's much easier. Ashkenazi is harder because you have to know the differences between the tar and the sa.
What about let's say he had no.
Right, so the heir has to decide which minhagim he's going to take upon himself. That might have to do with which community he wants to live in.
There's no, let's say, on an objective scale, there's no preferred.
That depends who you ask, I guess. A heir is going to decide. He's going to be living in this community, so he's apparently going to want to fit in to what people are doing in that community. It's never good to stick out like a sore thumb in anything. It's always good to blend, like we said in the Chumash, Pesach Ami Anofi Yosheves, be part of not to do things that, the Tzibur stands for a certain thing, so you stand. They don't stand, so you don't, to stick out is never a good midah. It's always good to blend into the, Ellie?
Do you think it's
right, in Sephardic communities, the minhag is to sit for Kaddish. Right, so if you're in a Sephardic shul and everyone is sitting for Kaddish, so you should sit for Kaddish. In Ashkenazic, it's like sacrilege to sit for Kaddish. But when you're in a Sephardic shul and everyone's sitting for Kaddish, so you should sit for Kaddish too. Whatever. The key is not if you want to do something different than everyone else, just do it in an inconspicuous manner.
Okay.
Yeah. Ben? Yeah. Along the same lines,
if you daven
the Sfarad Shul, what are you supposed to do? If you daven the Sfarad Shul, so again, there are different opinions, but the klal is that you can daven the way you normally daven, just don't make it noticeable. If you're going to make it noticeable, then you can't do it. And for sure, the Dvarim Shel Tzibur of the Kedusha, you should definitely do. The Tzibur things like Kedusha, you should answer their way of Kedusha. And the Shemon Esrei, the silent Shemon Esrei, you could definitely do your own, because it's silent. And even the rest of davening, even though Rav Moshe says that the rest of davening, you might say Baal Peh, the Koran, so you should do it the way they do it. But Lamaisa, if you do it in an inconspicuous way, you could do it your way. So you can do the whole thing. So like I normally daven Nusach Ashkenaz, but on like a Shabbos time, a lot of times I daven in Shul, I daven Sfarad. So I just answer Kedusha their way. But the rest of davening, no one knows which way I'm davening. I don't yell it out loud. So
if you let's say go to that community for good. Good. So
why are you going to be moving to the Sephardic
community?
Or
whatever, So then, why then
Dominus you're not moving into the Sephardic okay, Rebosa, I apologize. Bez Hashem, I want to wish you all a good Shabbos. Please come. I'm going to try to be here at regular time. The package will be on the desk. Okay, good Shabbos.